Mr. X turns off the car, and the X's jog into the house, evading the last of the drizzle, while I struggle to unbuckle Grayer and carry the whimpering crate in after them. We've just returned from the dog breeder, and Grayer now has a new puppy that he has yet to take a shine to. I set the wooden box down on the shag rug, pulling the retriever puppy out, just as an elderly woman with shoulder-length gray hair emerges from the kitchen. "Grandma!" Grayer cries out. "Ah, there you are. I thought I must have the wrong house," she says, untying her scarf and maneuvering carefully so as not to touch the mildewed walls. "Mother!" Mr. X looks as if he's just been zapped with a stun gun, but then recovers, moving forward to kiss her on the cheek. "What are you doing here?" "Well, that's a fine way to greet your mother. Your charming wife called me yesterday and invited me to enjoy this refugee camp you probably paid a bundle for," she says, looking up at the peeling paint. "Although, honestly, I don't know why I couldn't have come tomorrow," she says to Mrs. X. "I caught the 9:30. I tried calling from the ferry, but the line was busy, and as much fun as it would have been to wait in the rain and eat one of the fried bread products available for purchase at your charming station, I decided to hail a cab." I stand just outside of their triangle, taking in the grande dame who has spawned this family. I've only met women like Elizabeth X when my grandmother has dragged me to Vassar reunions for the class of 1862. She's real Boston Brahmin, part Katharine Hepburn, part Oscar the Grouch. "Elizabeth, welcome," Mrs. X glides forward to give her mother-in-law a guarded kiss. "Can I take your coat?" "Call the union. Mrs. X is taking a coat." Elizabeth slips out of her beige Burberry trench, revealing a blue and white polka-dot pleated dress. "Darling," Mrs. X says to Mr. X, who still looks stunned, "you're always saying how you two don't get to spend enough time together, so I thought I'd give you a little surprise."
"I said hi, Grandma," Grayer says impatiently.
She bends her knees slightly with her hands on her thighs. "You look just like your father. Now, run along." She straightens up. "Who's this, and what's that?"
"Elizabeth, this is Nanny. She looks after Grayer."
I shift the puppy to my left arm and reach out to shake her hand.
"Lovely."
She ignores the gesture and reaches into her purse to pull out a pack of Benson and Hedges. "That's Grayer's new dog," Mr. X says jovially.
"I hate it," Grayer says from the couch. "Would you like a cocktail, Mother?"
"Scotch and soda, dear, thank you."
"Oh, I think we only have vodka, Elizabeth," Mrs. X says.
"Send, I'm sorry, what's your name?" Elizabeth asks me.
"Nan," I say.
"I can go, Mother. I just traveled 3 hours through torrential rain to spend time with my son. My son, who, from the look of it, might have a heart attack any day." She pats his protruding stomach. "Send Nan."
"Well, Mother, the insurance doesn't cover." She turns to me.
"Nan, can you drive?"
"Yes."
"Do you have on your person a valid driver's license?"
"Yes."
"Son, give her the keys. Do we need anything else?" she asks Mrs. X.
"No, I think we have everything, Elizabeth."
"Knowing you, dear, there's only rabbit food. Nan, come with me to the kitchen. I'll make a list." I dutifully follow her into the avocado-green kitchen, dragging the dog crate behind me as I go. I park the box near the table and place the puppy gently back on her towel. As soon as I latch the cage door, she resumes her yapping. Elizabeth throws open a few cupboards while I take a piece of paper from the pad by the phone. "This is quite a shithole," she mutters to herself. "Okay, scotch, gin, tonic, clamato, tomato juice, Tabasco, Worcestershire, lemons, limes." She opens the fridge and tuts with disgust. "What the hell is soy milk? Does a soybean have udders? Have I missed something? Cars, water crackers, and more brie. Can you think of anything else?"
Macadamia nuts, pretzels, and potato chips?
"Perfect. My grandmother taught me that when entertaining wasps, the key is to put out only a tiny silver bowl of each item, and suddenly even Pringles have class. Son, can you please put that goddamn dog in the garage? The yelping is giving me a migraine," she shouts.
"Coming, Mother."
Mr. and Mrs. X enter the kitchen.
"I couldn't agree more, Elizabeth. Nanny, help Mr. X carry the crate into the garage," Mrs. X instructs me.
I take the front end of the crate and try to make reassuring noises to the puppy as we carry her out to the cold garage. Her brown eyes stare up at me as she tries to steady herself.
"There, there, good girl," I murmur. Mr. X looks at me as if he can't quite figure out who I'm talking to. Mrs. X follows us down the rickety wooden steps as we lower the crate onto the damp cement floor. Nanny, here are the keys. She holds them up as she comes over. Mr. X grabs her by the elbow and steers her into the corner by the boiler. How dare you invite her without consulting me, he growls through clenched teeth. Still waiting for the keys, I crouch down to adjust the puppy's towel, trying to make myself as unobtrusive as possible. But honey, it was a surprise. I was just trying to... I know exactly what you were trying to do. Well, I hope you're happy. I really hope you are. He pivots in his loafers and storms back into the kitchen. She stands with her back to me in the corner, facing the rusting trash cans. Oh, I am. She reaches up and smooths her fingertips across her forehead. I'm so happy. Really fucking happy, she says quietly into the darkness. She walks shakily past me, back up the steps to the kitchen, the car keys still clenched in her fist. Mrs. X, I say, standing as she reaches the splintering door. She turns, her mouth pursed. What? The keys? I ask. Right. She hurls them at me and steps through the kitchen door to rejoin her family.